At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Boom! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, the dawn of a new era, day number 4, ladies and gentlemen. The day before Nebraska takes on Colorado, that team from the West. All right, I got a whole bunch of stats, facts, keys, prediction. Before we do that, though, and I'm going to give some picks to some national college football games as well before we get out of here. Before we do that, though, my daughter, the second oldest daughter that I have, I already said her name yesterday, trying to not let it slip out of my mouth today, comes home. She's like, "Dad, did you take away my shout out from Monday?" I said, "No, I did not." She goes, "Did you talk about it on the show?" I said, "I did." She goes, "Where did you talk about it on the show?" She goes, "I just want to skip ahead to that part so I don't have to listen to the rest of your show." Jake, what is going on in my house? I said, "No, I did not take it back, but good luck paying for college now." That's like the ultimate trump card every parent has. You want to drive when you're 16? Good luck. Want to pay for college? Better start working for it now. Although, in all honesty, Jake, she's a great kid. She of our kids, we have 6 kids. We have 3 that are fairly easy. 3 that are a little bit more on the challenging end. So obviously 3 of them take after my wife, 3 of them take after me. I'll let you figure out which ones take after who. She's one of the 3 easier ones. She has a 4.0 in school. She busts her rear end. Just not a fan of her dad's show. Just not a fan of football. You're going to raise your kids better than I'm raising mine, aren't you, Jake?
I'm gonna try to make, you know, get an athlete out of it. We'll see.
Are they actually going to listen to your show and want to listen to your show?
I hope so.
Although, in all fairness, all 5 of the other kids do listen to the show. I'm picking on the one that doesn't. But anyways, I digress. All right. So here's the story I was going to share yesterday. And it's kind of along the lines of Nebraska nice, but not being so nice come tomorrow. So moved to Lincoln recently. Still not entirely settled. So there are things that are, you know, a little bit discombobulated and things aren't where they should be. And things got moved throughout the move back to Lincoln. And the other day I'm on the outskirts of town, one of the few parts of Lincoln that I'm not familiar with. And I get a flat tire and it came on pretty quick. Tire was actually smoking. And I pull over to the side of the road and there's nobody to be found. And I don't have the necessary tools to deal with my newfound conundrum. And I'm like, great. This is just great. And about 15 minutes go by, and I'm just, you know, hanging out, twiddling my thumbs, texting with Jake, exchanging pictures. No, we're not, because we don't do that. That'd be weird. But my point is, car comes up. First car. Pulls over. Guy gets out. He's like, "You got a flat." Now, the a-hole in me wanted to be sarcastic, but I was not in a position of power. So I said, "Yes, sir, I do." And he goes, You don't have the tools to deal with this right now, do you?" I was like, "No, sir, I don't." He goes, "I live about 8 miles from here. I will go get everything you need, the jack, etc., and we will help you change your tire." So he was gone, I don't know, 8 miles. Speed limit is like 45 miles an hour or something like that. Took him about 20 minutes to get back. You know, whatever it takes, 10, 15, 20 minutes. He took 45 minutes out of his day. Had no idea who I was, didn't ask for anything. Just happy as can be. And when people talk about Nebraska class, Nebraska nice, that's what I think of. And I'm like, it is so good to be back in Lincoln and around the great people of Lincoln, Nebraska. Now, I actually did a show earlier this week where I asked if Nebraska nice should be suspended for the Colorado game. And there is probably about 2-1. 2-1. 66 2/3 of the folks said, "No, let's not stoop to their level. Let's not change who we are." There was about 1/3 of the people who were like, yeah, screw those people. Yeah. "You got a flat tire, Adam, up yours." That would have been their response, but that's okay. I get it. You go to Boulder, you get your tires slashed. You go to Boulder, you get your windows bashed in, you get in fights, it's tough. Year after year after year, the temptation when they come here is to respond in a certain kind of way. But here's the deal. I love that Nebraska fans have the reputation they do, not just because of the loyalty, not just because of the sellout streak, but because of the legit class. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to Nebraska nice, I don't think there's anything nice about what should happen inside Memorial Stadium on Saturday night. What should happen inside the stadium, in those stands, as that game is going on in between the white lines. There's absolutely nothing nice about what the black shirts should be doing to Shedeur Sanders, what our O-line should be doing to that so-called improved Colorado D-line, and there's absolutely nothing nice that should be happening in between that 53 1/3 by 120-yard football field when Nebraska takes on Colorado. And that's what everybody wants to see. I was going to say that's what I want to see, but that's what everybody wants to see. I think America, let me ask you, Jake, who do you think America wants to win this game? Does America want Nebraska, the school that makes college football better when they're good, or do they want Coach Prime and the wannabe Miami of the 80s only in the 2020s and Deion Sanders to win? Who do you think America is rooting for, Jake?
Well, I think America's probably rooting for Nebraska. I'll say this too, and we talked about this the other day, is I think every analyst that I've seen has picked Nebraska. So I don't usually, even if you're cheering for somebody and you know, or you think somebody can win, you can reason with yourself and try to make the right pick. But it seems like everybody's picking the Huskers and cheering for the Huskers.
It's not always a good thing. Well, the cheering I like, but the picking is, I don't know. It's not always a good thing, man. Here's what I know. One team wants to play defense and run the ball, and the other team just wants to throw it and turn it into flag football. That's what I do know. Now, with all due respect, okay, Colorado, they can come into Lincoln and they can win, just like they did last year, just like they did the 2 years before that. All right, and I talked about this earlier this week. Think back to 2018, 4th and 20. We stop them. Personal foul penalty extends the drive for Colorado. They end up scoring. They end up winning because they essentially converted on that 4th and 20 when they really didn't convert. You think about the next year. Nebraska's up 24-7 in the second half, deep in the second half, and ends up losing that game in Boulder. You think back to last year, and yes, it was 36-14 at the end of the game. I completely understand that, but it was 0-0 with 7.5 minutes to go before we had two fumbles and a snap that went into a guy in motion, was handed Colorado, not even 21 points, thanks to the black shirts, but 13. Colorado can come in here and win. They've got an elite quarterback. They've got elite players. In Colorado fans' minds, they're always going to have the two best players on the field, in Shedeur and Travis Hunter. You can't forget about Jimmy Horn. They think he's the fastest player on any field he steps on. They may not be wrong most of the time. The question is that 3-11. How much have they improved their offensive line there at Colorado? How much have they improved their defense? At Nebraska, it's interesting because when I'm asked, why do you think everybody's picking Nebraska this year, Adam, when Colorado has beaten you three out of the last three times? I was going to say three out of four, but three out of three. And I'm like, if you look, and this is something Joel Klatt talked about on his show. He does a great job, national pundit, okay, Colorado alum, my first ever sack in college. So every time I see and hear his voice, I think fondly of Joel. All those years ago, and I thought he articulated it well. Just talking about Colorado, he wasn't necessarily talking about Nebraska, because he had deep concerns. He said, we have an elite quarterback, and we have elite skill players on offense. He goes, everywhere else, I don't know that I see improvement. I look at the defense, I don't know that we're any better. I look at the offensive line, I don't know that we're any better. The run game, don't know that we're any better. And I've said before in this week, Nebraska or Colorado has three elite players. And if you want to count Travis Hunter as two, because he plays offense and defense, I guess you can say four. Okay. In Shedeur, Jimmy Horn, and Travis Hunter playing offense and defense, if you want to argue that and give him the benefit of the doubt. But it's hard right now. It's hard to know how much you really learned versus North Dakota State if you're Colorado. It's hard to know what you really learned versus UTEP if you're Nebraska. And Nebraska did not blitz much. If you talk to Dash and Ty, they basically said we called three plays over and over, and there weren't a lot of blitzes, like almost none. So you don't know what you really learned. We're going to learn so much more about both these teams this Saturday. You're going to learn about Colorado's defense and their offensive line. You're going to learn about Nebraska's offensive line, which has 158 collective career starts, which is good for top five in the entire country, I might add. Ton of experience up there. Donovan Raiola is the only coach that Matt Rhule retained from the previous staff. He's in his third year. It is fair to have expectations for this offensive line to be better. When you look at Colorado, you see a lot of similarities to last year. To me, it's like three or four really good players and then 18, 19 question marks. When you look at Nebraska, the quarterback position is clearly upgraded. The wide receiver positions are clearly upgraded. The defensive line is clearly upgraded. Why? Because they're all back and they're going to be, you would assume, better a year later. You look at a lot of things with Nebraska and there's clear and obvious improvements. The offensive line looked better for Nebraska against UTEP. I don't know that it was clear and obvious, but again, how much can you learn in that game? So for me, I think the reason people are picking Nebraska, it's in Lincoln. That obviously helps. It sure looks like Matt Rhule is building things the right way. I also believe you can see and point directly to areas on this team that are improved and that are better. And it's unquestionable. You look at Colorado and you're like, you look the same as last year and we don't know if you really got any better. They may have. You look at the second half of North Dakota State, that game, Colorado was down at half. And even the touchdown that North Dakota State scored late was almost kind of against a little bit of a prevent defense. Like, you've got to score twice, so we're going to maybe make you work for this score, and then you're going to have to score again, which North Dakota State just about did. I hate prevent defense. Unless you're up by 50, then run your normal defense and put third and fourth stringers in there. I just don't like prevent defense personally. It seems to prevent the team that's ahead from winning way more often than not. But I digress. Colorado's offensive line couldn't run block to save their lives versus North Dakota State. We should have the absolute physical advantage up front on the D-line. They did appear to pass block a little bit better if you just look at the sack numbers were down. But the hits, hurries, and pressures seem to be about the same, and I can't help but wonder if the athletes Nebraska has on the defensive side of the ball, that little extra burst and speed that the blackshirt players are going to have over, with all due respect, the North Dakota State players, if they won't get there just that much quicker and that much faster. Nebraska sacked Shedeur Sanders 8 times last year. Somehow lost the game. They lost because of turnovers. So, here's a couple of things. The all-time record between Nebraska and Colorado, 49-21-2. Nebraska has the edge. All right. This is the fourth time these two teams have played in the last seven seasons. Okay. Now, Nebraska and Colorado met for 63 straight years. All right. From 1948 to 2010, while members of the Big 7, Big 8, and Big 12 conferences. Colorado was actually 10-9-1 after the first 20 games. And then obviously Nebraska started to assert themselves over time. Nebraska owns a 40-10-1 edge since 1962 over the Buffaloes, including a 23-1 stretch from 1962 to 1985.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Nebraska's matchup with the Colorado is the first of 3 primetime games that Nebraska is going to have at home. I know it's funny to say, with Northern Iowa and then Illinois coming in. But this will mark just the third time in school history the Huskers have played 3 straight home night games. Nebraska also hosted 3 consecutive primetime games in 2008. New Mexico State, Virginia Tech, and Missouri, then Arizona State, Troy, and Utah, the year I redshirted in 2002. The Huskers have a strong history. It's tough to come in here and win at night in Memorial Stadium. People talk about Death Valley and LSU, and that is a unique atmosphere. And it is easily top 10, top 5, maybe top 1 in college football. But it is not easy to come into Memorial Stadium and win at night in these primetime games. Okay, the Huskers are 50-10 in home night games at Memorial Stadium. The first primetime game ever in the history of Nebraska football in Lincoln was that 1986, a victory over Florida State when Deion Sanders was a sophomore for the Seminoles. All right, so here are the keys to the game. Number one, and I have talked about this, but just to reiterate, number one, limit the big plays. This is a team with an inability to run the football. 2 yards a carry versus a very good FCS opponent, but an FCS team. Just over 2 yards a carry, I believe 2.6. They don't protect their quarterback well. How, if you can't protect your quarterback well and you can't run the football, can you consistently move the chains? They're going to rely on big plays, which they are more than capable of, as much or more than any other team in the country. They have the best two-way player in America, arguably the fastest player in America, potentially the top quarterback to be taken in the NFL draft. He's going to be top 10. For sure, probably, as long as he stays healthy and plays how everyone anticipates. Hopefully he doesn't play that way Saturday versus Nebraska. But if you can take away the big plays and make Colorado be consistent and disciplined with all those new players, with all those transfers, 97 transfers Colorado and Coach Prime have had over their first 2 years of his coaching tenure so far. And he's actually only about a year and a half in. That's a whole lot of new. That's a whole lot of question marks. That's a whole lot of things that need to be improved and upgraded. And it's early on in the season, and it's going to be a lovely, insane atmosphere. Make them consistently move the chains. Don't allow the big plays, because if you give them just a yard, they're going to take 10. If you give them 5, they're going to take 50 because they have that capability. Number two, be the more disciplined team. It starts right out the gate. The emotions are going to be running hot. They're going to be running high. People are going to be ready to run through a brick wall, every single person on that field. Be disciplined early in the game, and then win the turnover battle. Win the turnover battle. If Nebraska wins the turnover battle and doesn't allow big plays, at least not many, I mean, I will sit here and I will flat out guarantee a victory if they can do both those things. And they do them efficiently and effectively. The third thing I would add, though, hit Shedeur Sanders. Hit him. Limit big plays. Win the turnover battle. Be disciplined. And hit Shedeur Sanders. As far as Dylan Raiola, I would just find a way to get him into the rhythm of a game. He is not your typical teenage true freshman starting quarterback. He appears to be very calm. He appears to be in charge. He appears to be a leader on the team. He's walking up to the line in his first ever start as a 19-year-old, and he's changing plays, making audibles, changing protections. But he's still never been in an atmosphere like this. Come out running the ball. One of these two teams wants to play defense and run the ball. The other doesn't. I'm always going to favor the team that wants to run the ball and play defense. Come out, establish the run. Get Raiola in a rhythm. High percentage completion percentage passes. Just like they did to start the UTEP game, honestly. They did a phenomenal job of that. They ran the ball right out the gate, and it was a lot of short, high completion percentage passes. Sucked that Colorado defense up. Once Dylan's into the rhythm, he's going to be hyped. Once he's calmed down, however long that takes, whether it's one snap or 15, for me, it was usually about 5 to 6 to the whole game, pretty much for me. But at some point, he'll calm down, just like I eventually would. Then you hit him over the top, and you show off that elite arm strength that he's got. If Nebraska can do those things, man, it could be a fun night in Lincoln. It could be a really fun night in Lincoln. My score prediction has not changed from when I announced it a few days ago. Now, the over-under has changed to 56.5. Nebraska is a 6.5-point favorite. They were a 7.5-point favorite the other day. At least that's what I saw this morning when I looked it up. I have Nebraska winning 31-24. 31-24 Nebraska over Colorado. And one thing that should be mentioned, the advantage that we have on the defensive staff is huge. And that's no slight to Colorado. It's a compliment to Tony White and his staff and the staff that rules put together on that side of the ball. Deion, after they played North Dakota State, talked about, oh, the halftime adjustments and we shut them down in the second half against North Dakota State. True. Why did it take you a whole half? That was my thought when he said it. Like, why'd it take you a whole half to figure that out? They were doing the same things over and over. Quarterback run, middle of the field passes, about 10 to 15 yards. It wasn't complicated. I think Tony White can make those adjustments in a quarter. Just my thoughts. I think we got a big advantage on the defensive staff. If Nebraska doesn't win the turnover battle, if they give up big plays, all of a sudden this becomes a very interesting game. And the higher scoring it is, the more of a track meet it becomes. Not that we don't have speed or athletes or the capability to score. That's just what Colorado does. I don't know what else they do that they're really good at just yet until we learn more Saturday. It favors Colorado. But I have Nebraska winning 31-24. Win the turnover battle, limit the big plays, and knock the crap out of Shedeur Sanders. It better not be Nebraska nice on Saturday if you're wearing a black shirt. All right, Jake, you got any quick thoughts? And then let's do some national picks and get on out of here.
No, I love your breakdown. I think I've been saying it all week. I do think kind of in that same general score zone. I think the first team to 30 is going to win this game. And you know, to all the things you were breaking down, the one question I do have for Nebraska, I think it's given that Nebraska has a good running game. We'll see. Not a very explosive running game, and I know a lot of this is on, you know, Colorado's rush defense, which people have a lot of belief in, but time of possession is going to be big in this game, and we'll see if Nebraska, who hasn't landed on a running back, can get that running game going enough, like, you know, emulate North Dakota State there in the first half.
Which running back will take a bull by the horns? Which one or two guys is going to step up? It's great to have a whole stable of running backs, but at some point, somebody's got to take the bull by the horns. And I will say this. If Colorado scores early and they score quick and they have big plays, I go back to that North Dakota State game. A team that wants to play defense and be physical, they outrushed Colorado by almost 100 yards, 157-59. They dominated the time of possession by almost an entire quarter, 36 and change in favor of the Bison and 23 and change to the Buffaloes. Again, what is the difference between a Bison and Buffalo? Don't know. All right, Jake, give me some national matchups.
All right, we got some good games on the docket. Of course, on 93.7, the ticket specifically, number 3, Texas at number 10, Michigan.
All right, I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Man. Another team in the country with a whole lot of new, but had a whole lot of questions answered. And I dove into this more in depth yesterday, so I'll keep it quick today, is Texas. And boy, did they look good. Not very good Colorado State team, but they appear to have filled any holes that they have and upgraded a lot of positions. So I'm going to take Texas. All right. They're a 4-point favorite. Over-under's 48.5. I'm going to go Texas, and it might be my more than a touchdown.
Yeah, I see a similar thing going on. How about Iowa State at Iowa? Iowa's new prolific offense, of course, we saw from week one. Matt Campbell is 1-6 against Kirk Ferentz in Iowa, and that's when Kirk Ferentz doesn't have an offense.
You said prolific offense in Iowa in the same sentence. That's kind of like when I interviewed former Buff Mac McChesney, and he used the words elite talent and Colorado defense in the same sentence, and I couldn't help but laugh. I'm like, I love you, Matt, but come on, man. Let's live in the real world here. They both look better. Pardon me. They both look better than a year ago. Okay, I'm going to go with Iowa because if they can actually score some points, they always play defense and special teams. Next game?
Yeah, defense and special teams. That's the way to go for Iowa. Let's go Kansas at Illinois. Illinois is jacked for this game. Sold out stadium for the first time since 2016. Of course, Kansas comes in ranked number 19, 4.5-point favorites.
My gut says Kansas. I think Kansas is a dark horse in the Big 12 championship game contention. I don't have them in it, but I have them as a contender. Illinois, I don't think is going to be as good, but anytime. That's a rivalry game. It's a border state game. And if Illinois is jacked and it's in their house, I'm still going to go with Kansas, but I'm much more likely to tune in now because it might be highly entertaining.
How about this? And I don't know if this is not necessarily a pick, but I just want to ask you which is a better chance. Two big road underdogs here. But kind of interesting, App State at number 25, Clemson, or Boise State at number 7, Oregon. Boise State has won all three matchups against Oregon in their history.
Wow, I did not know that. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow, blue turf over the green jerseys. All right. Well, I'm going to go with Oregon. If you look at the stats from last week's game, and stats can be misleading, there's also a saying, numbers don't lie, so I guess cherry pick your facts based on what you want the narrative to be. My point is this. I think Oregon is one of the four best teams in the country. You look at the stats from last week. They dominated that game, except on the scoreboard. I think they come out swinging this game. I do think Boise is the best group of five team, and I think this game's a lot closer than Oregon fans would like. I'm going to give Oregon the edge. As far as Clemson and App State, man, I've just, ever since they upset number five Michigan in 2007 with the block field goal, and that was the first time anything like that ever happened, I've always been an App State fan, but I'm going to go with the Clemson Tigers. Just a reminder, talent composite rankings, Clemson, I mean, they got absolutely obliterated by Georgia, but they still have the fifth most talented roster in America. I'm taking Clemson.
It did hang around for a half, too. I know that's
the four-quarter six game. 6-0 yeah, at half. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right. I do have one final thought. I want to say rest in peace and prayers, thoughts, and wishes to Florida State's college football playoff hopes. Ever since you whined and moaned and booed Kirk Herbstreit, I don't know that I'm the biggest fan of Kirk. I'm not anti-Kirk. I think he does a great job. But my point is this, you're 0-3. What was it, 63-3 to Georgia? Then you lost to Georgia Tech. And then Boston College stomped a mud hole in it. Indian walked it dry. Look, listen to some of these stats. Boston College, in their game versus Florida State on Monday night, which I did not watch because I just assumed Florida State would do to Boston College what actually Boston College did to them. Boston College had 10 rushes of over 10 yards. That's over 100 yards rushing on just 10 carries. They obviously ran the ball a lot more than that. Boston College on one drive had more yards than FSU had all game. Boston College took a knee and pity on the poor old Seminoles at the end. And you look at the total rushing yards, 263-21. That's a bloodbath. Oof. Thoughts and prayers go out to all you Seminole fans. All right, I want to see a Husker win tomorrow. Until next time, Husker Nation, go Big Red Nose. Remember to throw the ball.
When your team's curious and ready to grow, they do their best work, and that changes everything. At CBT Nuggets, we've spent over 25 years making IT training engaging, hands-on, and fun. Expert-led courses, virtual labs, real-world skills your team can use right now. From networking to cloud to cybersecurity, we build skills and confidence that drive results. Believe in your team. Give them the tools to thrive at cbtnuggets.com/solutions.
Does your employer pay for training or education that can help you in your job today? Then, IT folks, this is for you. CBT Nuggets offers online IT training that's affordable and, dare we say, fun. From networking and cybersecurity to data science, CBT Nuggets has the training to get you through the workday. With our courses, you'll build real-world skills with short, engaging videos, hands-on virtual labs, and quiz questions to test what you've learned. Go to cbtnuggets.com and check it out. Our online platform launches right in your browser. No expensive hardware or software is needed to start. The best part? You can watch and learn at your own pace, on your schedule. cbtnuggets.com. It's IT training for all levels. From beginner-level courses to advanced network training, our expert instructors give you information that's informative, meaningful, and engaging. We've been helping learners for over 25 years, and we're a trusted name in IT training. So tell your boss it's time for CBT Nuggets IT training. Go to cbtnuggets.com and get started today.